Once again, this is April 14th of the year 2015. This is Mark Stanton Welch. This course is Tools for the Times, Session 3, The Process of Self-Creation. Like I've started off on all the sessions so far, I'm going to use these solfeggio chimes and just create some tonal background here that will infiltrate through the phone and across time and space to impact the vibration and clear out energies that are ready to leave. So let me do this for just a moment. So it is. Let's start off with a song. Open me up to Source and all the guides and angels. Open me up to drink the light that fills us all. Open me up, reveal the path of my true purpose. Open me up to unify me with the One. Between the heavens and the earth, within my heart space, I shall dwell here in the holy land of love. In the knowing and the grace, I shall find peace, and I will place the crown upon this breath of God. I am, I am. I'm going to repeat it. Open me up to Source and all the guides and angels. Open me up to drink the light that fills us all. Open me up, reveal the path of my true purpose. Open me up to unify me with the One. Between the heavens and the earth, within my heart space, I shall dwell here in the holy land of love. In the knowing and the grace, I shall find peace, and I will place the crown upon this breath of God. I am, I am, I am, I am. Once again, what a delight to have you on the call tonight. It's a big deal tonight. And the reason is, the thought was coming through me here as I just got down to the last moments of preparation, is that there come points in one's journey, in one's incarnation, where decisions have to be made about how committed we are to our own remembering of who we are. And I'm kind of thinking like this course and this session are one of those points. Because the truth is, in reclaiming this essence of who we are, which tonight I'm calling the process of self-creation, requires effort. And it requires attention, and it requires monitoring, and it requires doing things differently in the moment, on the fly, based upon the information that's coming in. It means applying the ideas and the information that comes in and actually using some of the suggestions. And I know in these times, and I know in our lives, there is so much pulling at us in terms of where to put our attention and where we want to spend that. And actually, in all honesty, in these times, a lot of us are just feeling really tired. We've been putting effort into following our path and following a higher frequency path, and the way things are shifting so quickly, it's pulling energy out of us, it seems, and what's being more required and what feels the best is just to sleep. And in this process of sleeping, what we're doing really is to reawaken within, and a lot of things are being shifted while we get out of our own way. Because in that state of consciousness, we are able to not resist the frequencies that are coming in. Having said all of that, we still have a lot of waking time left. And the invitation tonight especially is to really step up for yourself in making a decision that you will apply something from this. Whereas the last two sessions were very informational, tonight certainly has information, but the information contains a whole bunch of suggestions of how to put this process into implementation, if you will. So I'm just, in a sense, throwing down the gauntlet, of asking you and inviting you to step up and to really claim the new frequency that has drawn you to these tools for the times. Whereas some of you committed for a block of time, some of you are following a process of just one step at a time. All paths are honored. And each one is showing up to give you that which I am guided to give you. And honestly, the information serves me very well, and it allows me to put things into a perspective and into a form that I can go back to and rely upon and refer to when I forget, when I step back and slip back into places of low energy, of rising resistance, all of those pieces. So I am privileged to have the opportunity to create this and then to share it with those who are a part of this call. So thank you so very much. So I am asking you and inviting you to step up into remembering exactly who you are. It is a process, because in this dimension things are a process, which means it takes time and it also takes space. It won't always be so as we unfold into these new frequencies, because what the idea behind self-creation is that we reawaken all these elements that are of our true design, that have transcended all the incarnations, no matter where they have been on our entire soul journey, to be consistently there. And because the rules of the game, if you will, for this particular dimension, Earth dimension, are about forgetting who we are and remembering through our own efforts and process and experiencing the emotional elements of this life, the way duality plays out its process, the way the polarities are existing, the way we have self-determination, the way we have choice, the way we have independence. All of these things are gifts of the dimension, and also the very challenges that get in the way of us quickly remembering who we are. So having said that, these times in particular are about assisting us in mighty ways to get on with it. And as you can see, not everyone is willing to get on with it. There's a whole lot of resistance. And the reason I even bring this up is because all the resistance impacts the energetic field where we are moving forward in and attempting and actualizing, making headway into the remembering process. And yet some days we wake up and we have to wade through what feels like maple syrup in terms of actually getting on with our moments of remembering. The collective energy impacts us. It has to be so. The cleansings that are occurring in these times are essential so that we can wake up with clarity and not just get a glimpse, but actually stand in the whole frequency of who we are. And so to move into this Aquarian frequency that we established in the first session, it's necessary that we show up for ourselves. So the building process that is happening now as we start to identify a particular process You can see that each of these sessions is building and feeding in the next. And tonight I'll refer back to certain elements of the first one, especially when we look at the process of how to monitor our thinking and to release attachments to limited thinking. Because, it has been a long time that we have been there. So I'm going to invite us to prepare our frequency just a little bit more right now. And I'm going to invite you to speak your true name as I've established it and call it. It is your first, your middle, your last. And again, what this does is it puts a cocoon of light and safety around you that allows you to access your inner capacities and the frequencies of the inside of you so that they'll feel free and feel safe to reveal themselves. Because protection is really only about maintaining the frequency inside my field so that the outside energies of lower frequency do not in any way impact me. That way I can call the highest of the I am that I am expressing as me into the moment to be present. Protection is not a fear-based element in this way. It is about staying in my wholeness and my power. So when I speak my name, I call this field around me, and it establishes itself. This statement of my name also realigns me with my awareness of my divine blueprint that has been my soul pattern from the beginning all the way through the infinity of time. I call myself back to my design. And finally, I open up the frequency that is like a direct line to my guides, teachers, etheric beings who are aligned to that particular frequency. Like 8675309 is the number, and they know, and when you call that number, those energies are at that other end of the frequency, other end of the line. Your phone number, in a sense, is the frequency of your wholeness. And when you call it forth, those energies support you and are available for your dining and dancing pleasure. So on the count of three, I'm going to invite you to speak that name seven times, your first, your middle, your last. And again, these are the names that you came to the planet with, essentially on your birth certificate, the mutual decision that was made. So here we go. One, two, three. Mark Stanton Welch. 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 And so it is, and so it is, and so it is. If you got caught up in saying Mark Stanton Welch, thank you for the extra support. I could use it on a day like this magnificent day. All right, a couple statements here. I'm just going to put these out right in the beginning. Some we've used in the past. They will be on your page when you get it, your support page, by tomorrow or the day after. These are some proclamations that are going to set a frequency for us tonight. From the divine love that flows within my being, I am prepared and I accept the full integration of my divinity throughout my being. I acknowledge and honor all parts of my being that have supported my journey in my physical experience, and I transmute those thought forms which no longer serve me into unconditional love. I transmute all energies that would interfere with my ability to declare my freedom and proclaim my divinity into the divine expression of creative love and activate the golden light of transformation throughout the totality of all that I am. And so it is. And so it is. Breathe in. I call forth all energies and aspects of my being that I have released, pushed aside or failed to embrace, to stand before me as I stand before you in love. I rescind all intentions by which I released, separated from, or ignored these energies. I ask you to forgive and honor me as I forgive and honor you. I thank you for the lessons we have shared. I choose to transmute all bonds between us into unconditional love, and I embrace you into my oneness, and so it is, and so it is. Take a breath. I choose to transmute the illusion that interferes with my ability to see my divine perfection. I command that all records and memories created to manipulate and distort my ability to recognize and experience the totality of my divine creation be erased from universal consciousness. I command that the illusion be replaced with universal knowledge that will allow me to know, see, feel, and experience the feminine and masculine aspects of my divinity within, and so it is. Breathe, if you will. And finally, I command all thought forms, energies, illusions, devices, or other forms that I have created with or without my permission that would interfere, distort, or otherwise compromise communication between any part of my being on all levels of consciousness be transmuted into unconditional love and used only in the divine expression of creative love. I proclaim my divine perfection. I claim my freedom to communicate with all levels of my being and with all of creation. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is. All right. The reason I brought back a few things there is because I believe I established in the beginning, if I can recollect this, that in the transition time that we're in this limbo, in this sort of immersing field of the Aquarian as it comes into the Piscean influence of what has occurred, in this sort of transition time and the transformational time, we are at the, I was going to say mercy, but the word caught in my throat. Well, I said it anyway. In a sense, we are at the mercy because that's the old Piscean model, is that it impacts us beyond our capacity and power to deal with it. And out of that awareness of the old, we let go of the influence of that to stand in and embrace and accept and keep inviting in this new power that we are witnessing unfolding within us. And once again, let me underscore the notion that nothing I am saying is not contained within you already. I am here just to act as a device that will trigger the openings of these information packets within you. And those will begin to be the elements that give you the process of what to do with the information that I am offering. This is a mutually serving process that really is just basically put into your hands to do something with. Now, having said that, I am not in any way inviting you to feel pressure from what I'm saying. I am inviting you to be encouraged and inspired by the ideas that I'm putting out so that you will have the willingness to take the next step. That's all. And if you don't, there is no cost to that. It's merely a postponement, and it's just another day to go out and walk and enjoy the sun and the weather. No pressure. Please know that. It's an interesting energy tonight because there's a sense of urgency, kind of, but there's a sense of really like, you know, motivating and calling you on the carpet to go ahead and step into this. Because I know when I put out this information, this is not easy to follow. It's like, God, there's so much here. But it also reminds me of what we actually are really and truly capable of assimilating, of taking in. It's a multidimensional process that is occurring. We are taking the information in on many, many, many levels and in many, many forms. And therefore, we are so capable, far beyond the perceived limitations of what we were in the Piscean model. And I would be disrespectful of you if I didn't keep pouring it on, just so that we can get out of the way and let the process happen. So tonight, some of the topics that I've got, and we will make through as many of them as we can, building the environment that supports the most toxic beliefs is the second, and another one called cultivating high vibration. Another topic, create relationship with the now. Another, ongoing self-care. Another, release attachments to limited thinking. Another, build a multidimensional community. Another, monitor what you put into the world. Another, understand and engage universal laws, another self-talk and expression, and another called filter input.
Way cool.
So what is self-creation? I wrote out a little bit of an explanation here. Let's see what I said yesterday. Self-creation is a conscious release of any vibration lower than the frequency of wholeness. It is based on the idea that we are born with all we need to be fully who we are. All the information, all the skills, all the willingness, all the knowing, all the connections, all the resources. It is contained in the cellular holographic space, awaiting reawakening via triggered release via life's moments. The self-creation process requires consistent attention, choice, and action. So the idea of creation is a thing of taking substance and building a new form out of it, of using the resources to create a magnificent new form. In this way of in a sense, of way of the, by saying that, essentially, it sounds like it might be contradicting the idea of self-awareness, that we are reawakening to that which we are. Well, there's several things going on. The guidance sense to me is that, in a way, we're undoing the structures of the past. And out of the process where the reawakening is occurring at the same time, we are letting go of the structures of the past, which is like the image that I started out with, where two ages that are infiltrating one another, one growing out of and one releasing and letting go and diminishing. So self-creation in this sense is using the substance of the I am that I am expressing as each of us, to give permission, to give opportunity to create the form that we have as our particular design. So the idea of self-creation is that this is the most important thing that we can be doing in terms of our action in the world. Because the gifts that will come from this process are almost infinite. As we reaccess our capacities as beings, as powerful divine beings, as spiritual beings, we will begin to access a greater and deeper and fuller and richer experience of the dimension that we live in. And it will take us out of the self-imposed and the bought into limitations that have contained us for so very long. It's already happening. It's already happening in that we are, I believe that anyone who's participating in these calls, including me, is beginning to see that, you know, stuff doesn't much matter anymore. The forms that have weighed me down, the things that get in the way, basically, I don't have the same reaction to them as I used to. Right now, I respond to them and see them oftentimes as friends and vehicles with people, situations that I can walk with for a time so that I can reawaken more of who I am, so that I can call upon those resources to be that much grander and that much more powerful. So the process of self-creation is critical in that it brings us to who we are and have always been. And it is time to reclaim that. So we're creating the whole being that we have always been. Interesting. Okay, foundational to this, I said I was going to, I started out to say there were seven toxic beliefs that basically are the ones that infiltrate us the most. It ended up being 11. Whoops, just a minute here. I have to refer back. Darn it. I have to pause for a minute because something wasn't posted correctly, and I have to go back into the program. All right, here we are. The first belief is obvious, that we are limited beings. This is the one that we have to undo the most. The notion has been dispensed upon us for lifetimes, taught that we are incomplete, flawed, sinners, wretches, less than, not beautiful, weak, etc. This is one of the greatest toxic beliefs that we have to face almost on a daily moment, in our daily moments, because of the influence of the external and the programming that has occurred upon us. all of these toxic beliefs are ripe for release and letting go of. And in the process of release, we must replace them with a higher frequency perspective, which will come a little bit later in here tonight. Another of the toxic beliefs, too many believe they're unworthy, undeserving of love, or doomed to be a victim of life, while the more fortunate ones thrive, they look on, wishing and hoping. That is a completely deceitful process. As we are remembering the actual divinity of ourselves, we see that there are no victims. It is a consciousness that is antiquated. Another of the toxic beliefs is that power is a commodity of a finite amount, and that the ones in power control through might, money, and manipulation, and the leaders create self-immunity to laws while imposing them on all the followers. People believe in this, and they let themselves be forced into going along with the sheep. This is a process of surrender, not in a new Aquarian way, but in an old Piscean way where we kind of gave up and just went along with it. We are releasing the toxic belief that that is so. Another is the notion that we have to learn to be a whole person. Education is a timed sequence that never ends. Others are way ahead of me or you, and there's just not enough time to learn what you must actually. This is a powerful time and a life of remembering how to be our whole self, reawakening in spurts to that which we are capable of being. It is not an endless sequence. And it is not a process of learning to be a whole person. It is opening to the knowing that we are and letting it reveal itself from the inside through things like we're doing tonight. Another one we hold on to is we are alone in this universe, that we are born alone and we die alone. And if you act right, then your God may smile upon you and assist so you won't be alone. And the truth is the contradiction here is that we are surrounded on multidimensional levels by beings, seen and unseen, and when we ask for help, they listen and they respond. Another toxic belief is that the past controls us, that we are only as good as what we have done. Our mistakes cause shame, they hold us hostage, and they doom us to repeat. People struggle to let go of the past and use it like a weapon on others, especially in relationship. Actually, the past, as we have established already, does not determine the present or the future unless we choose it. We are that powerful that we can take this moment to create the separation and put a new pathway out right before us. We are letting go of that toxic belief and bringing in the new frequency of that which we are capable of doing. An old paradigm is that life is short and a single experience. We were born by the luck of the draw. You get what you get and then you die. The ideas of successive lives and having a choice in circumstances and consciously having purpose from the point of incarnation, the process of reawakening in this life, the existence of soul as eternal, moving from one life to the next, these things are simply not entertained, and they're certainly judged against by most. Life is not a single experience. Another toxic belief is that we are incomplete and need someone to complete us, preferably the one who will take care of all our needs for the rest of our days. Thus, relationships are looking for the right one. Little is gleaned as mistakes repeat themselves and we keep attracting the same version of mom or dad. The real relationship we seek is an inside job, the reconnection of our inner adult and inner child. Here is the land of union, harmony, care, happy childhoods, health, and unconditional love. And this is so important that we will devote one of our sessions to the idea of the child and the adult connection, reconnection, and the reawakening that takes place there. Another, we are taught to believe that change is bad. We resist change and struggle to keep the same old in place. And as students of awareness, we realize the truth here is that everything is vibrating and oscillating incessantly. It's changing over and over. It is the law, as we'll see later on tonight. Change is inevitable, and to embrace change is to flow with the ever-oscillating forms of our moments. We cannot resist. if you ever watch water move through sand and you put roadblocks in the way, you put dams in the way, the water finds a way. And to float down the stream rather than going against the current is a much more relaxed thing to do. Another of these toxic beliefs that are infiltrating our lives, that we are taught, we have been force-fed the monetary and banking system to the point that we believe that they are supporting us. Money and things are taught as limited resources. We fear scarcity and thus do whatever it takes to get ahead, which means more money. Goods are hoarded. We secure credit cards to make sure we have the stuff we need to survive. All the while, we look longingly at the haves, the world. The contrast is that the world is abundant. Life is abundant. It is everywhere. Prosperity is our personal birthright. We must learn to see it and witness it to change the belief in scarcity and the survival of the fittest. And it happens quickly. And we'll see that tonight we can apply some elements that will help us to move through that. And again, lastly, the most toxic, not most toxic, it's one of the 11 that I came up with. God is outside of us, accessible only to men who have the ability to talk to God. The Piscean holdover is simply ridiculous. And it is self-serving to organize religion, which has been deceitful since its beginning as it controls through might and fear and pressure. The truth is, God lives in each of us as our unique expression of the Holy Christ self, expressing as me and as you. Okay, there's a foundation. These are elements, again, that have impacted us to the point that we find it difficult to become anything different than that. And then when we start to take momentum and gather the energy to move into new awareness, we are imposed upon by the energy of these kinds of toxic beliefs from the outside, through the media, through the friends, through conversation, through familial, cultural, even worldwide perspectives that keep us in the sense of being limited. Well, it simply is not the case anymore. So let's look at an idea here. In order to create this essence, to self-create the I am that I am in its full expression, here are some of the things that we have to do. And the first one is to build an environment that supports us. There are certain key elements that translate to mean that we are of value to ourselves. That translation of the value to ourselves, when we see it, infiltrates the inner child part of us that then gives permission to quit fighting and pushing against being, letting go of the resistance. I kind of stumbled through that. But the idea with self-creation is that we do all that we can to support and encourage ourselves to just become what we are. The environment that I'm talking about, okay, here's some of the elements. And these are common sense, but they are also underscored because they are critical to translating into our own personal value and our capacity to support and maintain our energy field, which is critical in these times. Our space, if you will, needs to be comfortable with natural light and fresh air. I don't know where you are right now. I don't know what kind of a place you're sitting in. If you're, whatever you're sitting in, I would like you to consider all of these elements that I'm going to be putting out tonight as additions if they aren't there. It's not requiring that you move. It's requiring that you just create a space that translates into the love that you deserve. Comfortable with natural light and fresh air. Next thing, contains a variety of color specifically aligned with the chakras. So that would be the colors of the rainbow. Red, orange, yellow, blue, green, indigo, violet. Throw in some pink. throw in some aqua. There are some other colors that would be wonderful as well. Have those available either in a small patch or in clothing that you have or in splashes of color. My trips to Hawaii brought me an endless, well, not endless, it would have been, but a whole bunch of cloths that were called pareos, and those are the clothing that is worn over there, and they are of all different colors, and I just bought them whenever I went over there, and so I have a bunch now, and I splashed them. Having said that, I also went to Michael's and got all the basic colors of the chakras, and I have maybe a three-yard by three-yard piece of each of those. The color is essential in supporting our vibration. As you become discerning of your particular energies, you're going to find that you will reach for colors because they augment the energy and support it, or they begin to soften an extensive amount of another chakra that is out of balance. We'll be doing some chakra work later on in the sessions. Another element of the environment is that it addresses all the senses with pleasing visual, relaxing and empowering audio, specific aromatherapy, tasty morsels, and soothing fabric. Things to touch, things to see, things to hear. See, this environment you're creating is not just for this course. This environment you're creating is for your moments of living. That when you want to recharge, when you want to focus on the I am that I am expressing as you, you go into this space and you use the accumulating vibration that you're putting in there to support you. Because it's the energy itself that will kick you into high gear. It isn't so much thinking, it's being in a frequency that begins to establish this collective element that supports you and lifts you beyond any kinds of resistance you can throw up. The next one is the elements of all the kingdoms. That's the it contains elements of all the kingdoms, which means that's the rock and mineral kingdom, the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, the elementals, and the etherics. So what I'm saying is here that you have in the room, I've just gone through the sort of aging man, go to the beach and pick up stones phase. So I got rocks all over the house right now. But man, it feels solid to have all of these. And there's each one has its frequency and character. And we could get into a whole course on this because rocks contain the energy of when they were planted. They also are like libraries of information, of energy about the earth and about history, past and present and future. Although in these times, those three elements don't necessarily exist. But what it does is it gives us a key to a specific bit of information. When you are attracted to the stone as you walk the beach or you walk in the forest or whatever, that stone has information for you. You pick it up, you hold it in your left hand, and you let it download the information. And then the next time you look at it, you go, why did I pick this up? It has no attraction anymore. Minerals, precious stones, they all carry frequencies. Consider having something like that around to represent the kingdom. Have a plant. Get a live plant in that room, or even dried plants, anything like that, but the live plant is so much better. Have that force there. Have that life force. Bring in some veggies. Do something like that that honors that particular kingdom. Now, with the animal kingdom, I'm not saying you become a menagerie in there where you have hundreds of animals with you, although some of you may be, like cat people or something of that sort, but it's always nice to have an animal energy around. If you do not have a live animal, I'm not inviting you to pepper the walls with stuffed animals or anything, but I have around the house for me, I have a bunch of stuffed animals that are the ones I had as a boy. They are representations, metaphors. They're not things that are stuck up on the wall. Those serve me. I also have access to animal totems. So there's some books that I'll put out a reference page, hopefully, with this particular lesson session. And it will have some suggestions of books that I found very useful. There's one by Jamie Sams about animal totems called Medicine Cards. It was there, and it was a very powerful and beautiful book that supports our connection with the animal world. Also having the elementals. Now, the elementals you perhaps haven't thought about since you were just a little child. As we are children, we begin to see, we see the fairies and the dwarves and all of those elemental beings that are essentially out in the in nature, making sure that the processes of nature keep in place. They keep working. They're the ones that are doing the planting, the seeding, the nurturing of the plants on very many levels. And sometimes when you stand out there and you look, and you the corner of your eye, you see something moving. And then you look over there with a frontal look and you see there's nothing there. They aren't necessarily visible to us right now because we probably wouldn't know what to do with them. So honor the elementals with statuary. I have around the house, you know, little pieces of some fairy characters and some other elementals that are there. And it's nice to have them there because it connects me with nature. And the more I do that, the more nature comes to visit me and support me. And then the etheric elements, basically I put statues up and I have pictures of ascended masters. I have statues of mythical elements. I have the Wizard of Oz characters, the Scarecrow. I have the Tin Man and the Cowardly Lion. And those are very powerful metaphors, and I use those as etheric energies that transcend space and time to remind me of elements. Because you can see what I'm doing as I build this list. These elements are energetic supports for me that put me back into touch with archetypal energies that have transcended all the incarnations. They put me back into the notion of the greater community and connection that I have with all of life. And this begins to support my frequency. Another is safe and quiet when needed. Your space, your environment is safe and quiet when needed with a place for comfortable seating or lying down for replenishment or inner work. Make sure you can be undisturbed. Another, incorporate the water element, a fire element, an earth element, and an air element, and an etheric element. So having a little water fixture, a fountain, or something, even a CD that creates water, or a bowl of water, or water that has been set in the sun and then brought in that is purified and empowered by the solar energies. You want fire, which can be a candle. I don't know if you're into salt lamps, but those are very potent because they release ions, the ions that are very supportive of us. And for earth element, having a stone really helps, even a bowl full of dirt or soil, you know, all of that works. Air element, if you have an air purifier or an ion generator, those particular things that are relatively inexpensive can really support the purity of the air and the purity of the energy that you have within your space. And again, we're working energy, we're working vibration. You want to have perhaps a, not perhaps, I would really suggest having a nice collection of cleansing tools like rattles and bells, drums, gongs, smudge sticks, incense, bowls of the Tibetan type bowls or the quartz bowls. Any of those things will help you to move energies and to cleanse the field that you have. And you'll know as you grow in awareness and increase your vibration an area that is not in alignment, and you'll reach for the tool. You'll reach for the necessary element to bring you back to the place of center. It is useful to set up a sacred space as like an altar. An altar is a perfect place where it can be reverent and you can remember who you are whenever you stand in front of it. If it's a fixture in your room where you have all this environment, then that's very powerful. If it's just a place in your house because you have additional people in the house, invite them to also create a sacred space for them. Put them all in the same area. It's a powerful thing, and most people, no matter how they are and what energy field they're in, will respond well to creating something that's sacred for just them. Because we want to be witnessed by ourselves and witnessed by others. Consider all of that. Have a situation where you can have reading materials of higher frequency, books that you're reading right now, resource materials. And again, I'm going to put out, hopefully this week, if not by next week, a pretty extensive bibliography of resources that I have found particularly useful in passing on information and perspectives to me and opening up doors to allow other information to come in. Also have a space where you can, some means to play back audio, whether it's MP3, CDs, tapes, 8 tracks, whatever that's going to be for you, environmental recordings, etc. You want to feed your spirit in all ways. This is essential and can be actually displayed on your altar, early pictures of the child. Because what you're doing is you're calling yourself back to the last time you remembered who you were. And it was in the early days of childhood, before infiltration of information, before energetic influence, and before perhaps abuses happened, before, you know, injunctions, beliefs, etc., dropped in. At age 7, we have ended our conscious connection with the creative source of the all that is. And it's symbolized by, well, actually, the soft spot on top of the head and the crown certainly seals over earlier than age 7, but age 7 is a symbolic place where we have done our first 7-year cycle, and at that point we are on our own and fully incarnated into the physical. Prior to that, organs are still in the formation process, energy systems are still coming in, we're still beginning to get our footing. Not beginning, we are still getting our footing. Some interesting concepts we're delivering tonight. Just a couple more here. Energy clearing tools like a chi machine. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those. You lay down on it, you put it, and basically it moves back and forth, and kind of like a dolphin. Your legs are moving. You can vary the speed, and it goes about 8 minutes, and what it does is it really stimulates the meridian energy as it moves through in there. Okay, and rollers, back devices, foot massage, scalp tingler, you know, the thing you put over your crown, and it just sort of tingles and tickles and kind of rubs the scalp. It's beautiful. And finally, divination tools. If you're into tarot decks, totem animal sets, angel cards, etc., use those, because spirit comes through in all kinds of ways. The more you use things like that, not to make them your devotee of any of these elements, but to realize that the information, the ideas, the inspiration comes from multiple sources. A couple of places online I've listed here, Tools for Wellness and Luminanti as sites where you can procure a lot of this stuff. So what you're doing here, once we become aware of the toxic beliefs that we have infiltrated us, you see the awareness is itself reduces the element of fear. See, fear fades when facts are faced. When I put these things in front of me and go, okay, so that's been influencing me, then I have different relation to its power from that point on. That's why we laid this out quickly tonight, because we want to undo that which has been in place. Once the undoing starts, which it's already moving in process to do, then we start to look at the environmental support and how can we build a space that can perpetually spirals into higher frequencies, so that when we walk in, it can be a healing space just by the very process of how we have fed it and nurtured it. Okay, let me move now to creating relationship with the now. This seems a bit obvious, but I've got a few things in here in terms of specific tools that I'll go ahead and pass on. The truth is, as we've established already, I believe, or maybe it was in another course, but the now is really the fertile ground of life. It is a place where change is made, where life is celebrated, where our accomplishments are acknowledged and made aware of, where we have points of change, to absolutely alter our path. It all happens in the now. The now is the vehicle that usurps and uses the energy of the past and the awareness of the past to transform the moments that are coming. It sets the tone for the future. It calls forth the forms of the future by the very act of the laws of the cosmos and the capacities of so within, so without, as above, so below. Those laws of the cosmos are actually called forth in the now to influence the form of the next moment coming towards us. It is a beautiful dance, and the more we surrender to the knowing of it and allow the flow of it, then the next thing we'll notice is just how sweet it is to be loved by that. All right, so conscious life is lived in the now. It's a launch point for the next moment. I could have said all that. These are following methods that can assist you in being fully present. And I'm not going to essentially insult you by just reading what I've already written out here, but I'm just going to make a few of the statements, and you can go back when you get the information and look through it. The first one, surrender your past. Let go of the people and the places and things that keep the ties to the wounded past, and to remove the energetic influence. In a couple sessions, we're looking at the energetic removal of the past for those who haven't participated in that yet, so this will make more sense excuse me, at that point. Set daily intentions about the life you deserve and desire. Focus on that is what makes it happen. The idea of living as if is a potent force that actually builds transformation, because you are putting energy into the new form as opposed to rehashing the forms of the past. You know, poor me is fun because it gets some attention, but after a while, poor me just recycles itself, because it's the law of so within, so without. That which I put attention on comes to me. The universe is bound by law to give us more poor me if that's what we keep claiming. So setting daily intentions, and this is where legwork comes in. This is where your private time is. It's like, what do I really want? Hopefully through the course of tonight, you're beginning to see what you are capable of. Then it's a matter of then putting it into the unique form that is you, in terms of giving the in universe marching orders about how to bring it towards you. Another one is to choose to really pay attention to the inner and the outer. One of the most critical elements is to begin to pay attention to the physical body. As we shall see when we look at the inner child, the sensations of the body and the emotions are the heretofore language of that inner child. That is how he or she communicates to us in the attempt to get our attention. Unfortunately, or perhaps as a part of a program, we have been taught to ignore physical symptomologies until they really smack us in the face. Little irritations, minor pains, etc., we've always got pills that we can take. When you begin to see that the callings, the itches, and it really comes down to this, if you will, itches basically take place along meridians. And when we bring our attention and actually scratch and stimulate that area, what we're doing is removing some blockage, which then allows the chi to flow through. The body is an incredible organism that is constantly in communication with itself, and it's trying to get in communication with our conscious self. And that is a challenge. So what we're asking here is to learn to pay attention to the physical. Learn to pay attention to the zingers that go through, to areas that suddenly start tingling, to areas especially along the chakras that start talking to us because they've been triggered to release the residue of what's there by an event in life or by a word being said, by an image that occurs on a TV or a re-stimulation at a movie. There are all kinds of ways that these things come up. It isn't that you need to then get to a couch so you can talk to somebody about it. It really is your awareness. You bring awareness to it. You're creating a bond and a connection with your physical self and your energetic self that translates to the inner child self to say that you care for that child, and that the idea that he or she has no value is then messed with to the point that it begins to fall apart. And this is really huge. The inner will give you information about what is up, what's ready to move and clear, and what is necessary to do in the next moment. And then the outer is the place where the inner is reflected. So if you don't like what's on the outside, start working the inside, because the outside is bound by law to show up in the way that you are dealing with yourself and calling what you're calling forth on the inside. Begin to understand that relationship, and it can really change the moment. Let go of attachments is the next one. So re-examine the familiar to make sure it's not perpetuating patterns that no longer serve you. We are creatures of comfort. We are creatures of comfort, and we will go back to places that are in alignment with that sense of comfort, even though they don't serve us. It's like the abused child will go to the abuser because there's a sense of relationship with that being. There's a habit that is built. I'm sorry. My apologies on that. I'm trying to get this phone to stop doing this. It rarely rings when it's here. This is a cosmic connection of sorts. So we're going to have to acknowledge it here on some level by turning it off. I apologize. It's my daughter. And now I've got just an awareness here. I have to quickly send a message. I apologize for this. I want to make sure that all is well. Isn't this interesting that it comes at the point where we're looking at the inner child? No accidents. You've got a child here who's sending messages and being very insistent. And what I'm trying to do is ignore it because I'm in the middle of the call. And she won't allow that. So this is what a perfect manifestation. I just love how those things work. I love it. So I'm sending out good energy to her that all is well. I just indicated that I was in the middle of a call. And that, in a sense, is what you can do with your inner child. The insistence of the inner child, we are a bit ahead of ourselves because there's a whole session devoted to this. But the insistence of the inner child through whether it's a body sensation or whether it's pain or whether it's an irritation or a headache or whatever, oftentimes is what is indicating that that child really needs some attention. Any bit of attention is better than none. So by acknowledging where I am to this call and what I'm doing is a way of letting her know, of letting my inner child know that I know she is there. And these are huge elements because too often we ignore that part of ourselves and dismiss it, which only keeps patterns in place. The creation of this new self involves being aware of these many elements of who we are. And it isn't that we have to be masters. The awareness is the primary vehicle that creates change. Okay, just a couple more here on the relationship. And now make decisions and immediately take action. Because it changes the form of the now. You monitor the results and make further adjustments. The process of moving from A to C, be a willing, committed participant in your own rich life. A lot of people are stuck in the third chakra, solar plexus, where they've lost their sense of power and their ability to make decisions. And not only they can make decisions, but they can't take action on it because they hesitate. They're afraid of the consequence. They're stuck in that limbo land having walked on eggshells as a child, and they don't know what to do with it, and it starts to get them all verklempt. These energies can be moved and processed, and it takes place in the now by taking different action. Make a decision to move your hand up and touch your face and do it. That builds the muscles of follow-through. Little simple things that are conscious choices to do something and then follow through, and that begins to soften the will center and let it let go of its resistance and it's trying to control the power in its life. Start looking for a supportive, loving world and put that expectation into motion. I have friends who focus on the negative. They are powerful teachers for me because I slip into that area now and then. And I start calling it, but it won't sit with me for long because it feels like a pinprick in the finger or a little pen knife in the back or something of that sort that is not very tolerable. It's essential that we begin to look at the world in a different light. Even if you don't believe it, start to see beauty. Start to practice gratitude. These are elements that will begin to infiltrate the now and make the now a very different experience, which then impacts the next moment. Use words like I choose, I decide, I create, I am. These words are activating the now, and they call the experience forward. Trust life. Why not? Because we already know what not trusting life is about. We know what it feels like to be suspect of things, to protect ourselves, to hold back. So we have that to rely on. We also have that as a springboard to test the other. Why not see what trusting life is about? Why not? Why not? And that practice is a personal thing for each of us. Because what I trust and what I don't trust historically may be different than where you're coming from. And finally, let's see and affirm and appreciate the simple and magnificent beauty that's everywhere. Our perspective, our perception of life, again, is what brings us life. You get what you give, as they say. Okay, that was under create the relationship of with the now. I'm going to look now at the section on ongoing self-care. I'm in the process of putting together a course that's going to be taught over in Las Vegas. Woohoo! With a masseuse friend of mine, and we are basically calling it the Art and Science of Self-Care, and it's for healthcare professionals and others in the bodywork community so that they really know how to really take good care of themselves because they're always taking care of others. So it's going to be a course credit event, and it's going to be at the end of May. It is open to anyone who would like to be a part of that. I'm very excited about it, and it's just another direction of where the energy is taking me. I've been a proponent of self-care since I realized how important it was for me. So it is an essential element of the reawakening that's occurring in these times. So here are some elements of self-care that I find very useful. Obviously, you want to care for your basic needs. That's the food, water, sleep, shelter, touch, exercise, financial base, love. And out of all of those, water and rest are especially important to the physical organism and your ability to show up in the moment. Another thing is find a way to regularly schedule and take quiet time. It's a busy world, and we're pretty much creatures of habit in that we fill up certain things. We fill up our moments, and some people are running from what's running from the energetic past, and so they get scared by the sensations that come up as the body wants to release itself. So they fill up their life with doing. I invite you to, if that's reflecting you in any way, to consider an alternative course, because that really leads to nowhere, and it leads to burnout, essentially, is what it does. It's really essential to have quiet time, and if you need to do it, schedule it. Make it a part of your day. And an invitation here is to learn to breathe in ways that serve you. You have the relaxing breath, which is the one that is like a rectangle, where you breathe in for a certain amount of time, hold it for a certain amount of time, let the air out, and then hold it, and then breathe in, and do these squares, increasing the amount of time of each to the point that you're breathing very slowly. When you breathe slowly, it brings a state of calmness and a very powerful place of center. And then there's energizing breaths like the breath of fire, where you breathe in through your nose to the belly like a bellows, and you breathe it for about 1 minute going. And what this does is supercharge you with chi and high vibration to give you the energy necessary to face and to deal with whatever is facing you in the moment. Another is connected breath when you're in the flows of emotion, when energy is moving. We go back to a connected breath, which was basically the way we breathed as babies when we incarnated. It's a circle. There is no stopping, no starting. We breathe in, we let it out. We breathe in, we let it out. We breathe in. And in this process, what it does is it activates the natural clearing and cleansing process that we are born with. When we started interrupting our breath, which was usually the moments of living that interfered and caused us surprise or shock, when we held our breath, that's when the cleansing stopped. And then we had to consciously start to do the cleansing process of the old energies. If we get back to this place, when you feel emotion coming and you're on the edge of tears, rather than run up against that and say, I'm not supposed to cry or anything, you begin a connected breath. And the next thing you know, the energy will move through. We will bring this breath back when we look at emotions, which is one of the elements of the 28 in the cycle that we're doing here. But suffice it to say that your breath is powerful. A cleansing breath is one that clears out the debris at the bottom of the lungs, and it just really kind of forces it out. As you breathe out, then you... I'm a wheezing guy. You just send out the last vestiges of old stale air that are in the lungs, and then you breathe in, and you'll find that you have a greater capacity of the lung. Spend time in nature. You know that one. And here's a controversy: once spend time in the sun. 10 minutes early morning and 10 minutes late afternoon when the sun is at a low enough angle that you're not impacted by the information that says the sun's rays are harmful. I don't buy into that in the least bit. And having said that, I don't go out and pitch my seat in the sun and stayed out in the heat of the day for hours and hours. But you find a way to get some direct sun upon your body, looking at it with closed eyes, although some people are into actually sun gazing, which is a whole different experience. Not sure about that one because I haven't worked with it yet. But the idea is that information is coming in on the solar rays, on the solar wind as it moves through. It's specific information for your cellular structure. In the morning, it comes as information in terms of how the vibration of the day will play out. It's like a prediction. It's like a download of information that sets you into receptive state so that you can flow with the forms of the day. At the end of the day, as you release, the solar energy is talking about clearing and sending information about cleansing the cells and setting you up for the process of the nighttime. It's a beautiful, beautiful relationship we have that has not been talked about. And obviously moving and exercise, break a sweat if possible, because the movement itself is essential to lubricating everything within us. It's also fun to boogie. You know, dancing, doing that. When we dance, the chakras get cleared, the energies move, the vitality returns, and too many of us have reached in and have become sedentary through the computer work, through the lifestyle that we've adopted. Even sitting there and tapping your foot or moving in any way is something in the chair that you can do. Pay particular attention to the hips, because the hips contain a lot of the programs that we carry, because the hips are one of the first things that create the movement as we move forward and step out of things. Your hips, when you do hula hoop kinds of things, swaying the hips, releases energy, especially in the first, and the second, and the third chakras, as also the chi machine does at the same time. Singing of chant, mantra, and intentional song, singing opens up all the chakras. Again, you can read the details on these. Consistent chakra clearing, we'll be doing a session on chakras, the front and the back side, and also specific clearing mechanisms that we can use. Laugh and smile a lot. Align your thinking in life-expanding ways by weeding out the lower frequency thinking and replacing it with the quote-unquote positive. Positive is a higher vibration, life-affirming perspective that we carry that does not in any way diminish. We practice using empowering language. These are ways, and there's a whole session on it tonight as I get to it. You focus on living in the now, which we've already looked at, and there's so many, so many, so many more. Okay, so take a breath, if you will. And be present with the amount of download of energy that's been pouring into you. I know tonight is just filled with suggestions of what to do. And I know it's triggering your awareness. In some ways, it may be causing you to fall asleep. It may be something that is you don't want to hear about because, oh, God, not another, like July 1st, resolution about making change. Here's the difference on this. I'm talking to deep elements of you. This is not just a conscious process. In fact, it's very far from that. However, if you engage the consciousness, the conscious self, then it makes everything flow more smoothly. What we're doing is creating again, opening up the awareness deep within you so that it floods through your being and clears out the resistance to you living in the frequency of who you always have been. That's what we're doing here. And so in some ways, there's so much information that's coming that it's necessary for you to just kind of get out of the way and let it come in. Having said that, let's go ahead and speak our true name seven times. First, middle, and last on the count of three. One, two, three. Mark Stanton Welch. 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 Mark Stanton Welch, Mark Stanton Welch. I completely lost track. I'm going to say one more just for the pinch to grow on. Mark Stanton Welch. Okay, let's look at self-talk and expression. The things that go on in our brain, in our mind, oftentimes are fed by the patterns and the belief systems that we carry on. Our thinking process, if we really spent some time and analyze it, probably has the reoccurrence of certain thoughts that keep finding their way, like they're on like they're on tape loops, and they come recycling around, but when all the different thoughts come around, it seems like a hodgepodge in there. It seems like a Hollywood crowd scene where all these different things are being said. It's like they're all talking, but a lot of them, I heard once, are saying things like cheese and crackers, cheese and crackers, cheese and crackers. And when all these people say it at different times, it sounds like conversation. But that's the way it comes through in the brain sometimes, and in the mind. We're just recycling these patterns, these thinking patterns, these thought processes. And so often they are debilitating or self-limiting and perpetuating beliefs that we have carried with us perhaps for lifetimes. So self-talk is really about monitoring what goes on in the inside. The inner self-talk must be life-affirming, empowering, and on a higher frequency, and it can be as we weed out the stuff. And the weeding process has already begun, but it's amplified by awareness. As you pay attention to things that don't serve you, the limited thinking must be noticed and replaced, I wrote here, and it says, be the Zen observer who sees it and calls it to conscious attention. You know, the Zen master just observes things. They look at stuff and they go, isn't that interesting? And in the process of observing, they create relationship that sometimes dissolves the pattern. So I'm inviting you to have on your left shoulder, because that's the receiving side, the little Zen master who is now a permanent growth on top of your shoulder, who whispers in your ear, isn't that interesting? And helps you to pay attention to things that do not serve you. It is a process that, when fed in the early days, will create a relationship that serves you infinitely. I've done it. I do it. So I invite you to hold on to that. Words and language carry a collective energy. This is so important. If your self-talk is infiltrated with specific words that are buzzwords in culture, if they are infiltrated, if your self-talk is infiltrated with claiming certain disease or conditions or naming certain things or making statements like, I'm sick of this, I'm so tired of it, I'm so sick, we'll see as we look into universal laws that the universe completely is bound by law here. My gosh, I just looked at the time. We were in a time warp. It's 8:14. Woo! Okay, here's what I can say on this. When I have, in my ability to express, and when I call forth certain conditions, here's the idea that words, as they are spoken, carry an energy and a frequency. When they are spoken, based upon the emotionality of how they were spoken, the circumstance, the intensity, etc., they carry a vibration with them. Too often words that are used by many people, especially words that talk about diseases or condition or labels. Let's take cancer, for example. When the word cancer is brought up and spoken and claimed, essentially all the energy of all the times it was spoken is laid into your energetic field, and it begins to infiltrate through your energy system and your field. So what I have learned to do in any of these kinds of situations is to really just talk symptomologies. The Zen master would observe and say, well, there's a little irritation going on deep within me, and I feel kind of a pain in there. I don't know what that's about, but I'm recognizing that I want to get it looked at and checked on. And I just refrain from using these words. I don't claim hyperactivity. I don't claim any of those kinds of things. Now I'm feeling a little bit of a push here to get information out. I apologize for that. But, boy, you can see there's been so much, and you'll have it all available to you if you act now. It's all coming your way in the next day or so. But I think you get the idea. Be aware of what you claim for yourself. Sick and tired only invites more of the same. The universe is bound by law to give you sick and tired situations that will bring it forth for you. Find other ways. Here are words that I invite you from this point forward to not use again. Hate, can't, try, should, but, I'm afraid, hope, problem, medical conditions, and that's just a statement for any kind of thing, the word debt, the word I'm sick and tired, phrases like that. All of those things are inviting a result that only supports the frequency of the word. Words like always and never are typical indicators that you are in your excuse my French, in your shit. You're being controlled by a pattern. A little child will use, you never are this way to me. And when you use never, you basically are in the state of that inner child, because never is an all-inclusive word that shuts out life from that point forward. And the word always includes, but it is rarely the case that you always treat me this way. Well, what about the times that you didn't? It's usually an indicator that you're in your stuff, and there's a point of vulnerability happening where self-care will begin to soften that experience so the child can have a new experience and let go of some of the pain. The list is here for those words. The words to include are words like yes, no, I choose, I trust, I feel, I attract, I create, I am, I decide, I love, gratitude, thank you, blessings, healing, I know, ascension. These words carry frequencies that are affirming of life. Words spoken are powerful, so monitor what you say. And essentially monitor the emotion that you have when you're speaking your words. The words are really the least potent indicator of communication. Usually it's the tone of voice and the energy and the emotion that's underneath the spoken word. If I was to say, I love you, you know, there's a lot of ways I can say that. I love you. I could also say, I love you, or I'd love you. See, each of those conveys an energy that belies the words. I'd love you, damn it. Get away. That's not necessarily a good feeling kind of thing. So you can see that the words themselves, and because language is so diverse, it's the feeling and the sensation around it, and the implied meaning that comes strictly from the energy is what we're looking at here. So learn to be cognizant of that, and you will find that the way you express yourself, and especially to yourself, as well as out to the world, changes, and you get different results. This is the process of reawakening and being able to communicate in a way that allows communication to actually take place. All right. There's a topic here called build multidimensional community. That goes against the toxic belief that we are alone. And especially in these times, a lot of people are finding themselves on their own. There's several things going on. One is alone is a powerful place where you do this inner work. Another is that alone is an existentialism, so you accept existential issues so that you stop being afraid of being on your own. It's a place we have to face. Because the entries and exits on the planet are temporarily alone. And if we are afraid of those, then we are under the influence of that hesitancy for our entire incarnation. So realizing that we have this incredible list of beings and energies that are here to help us really allows us to feel, gosh, you know, I'm not alone at all. But I feel like being alone right now, but I know if I don't want to, I have all these available. And here's the list. You'll see it in this unfolding area here. Inner child, adult self, higher self. Those are self-contained within me. I have friends. I have family. I have intimates. I have mentors. I have community. I have a culture I live in. I have the world at large as available to me now through especially the Internet. I have the natural world, which includes the kingdom I talked about earlier. I have the elements of life that are there, the fire, the water. These are animate objects. They are energy beings, if you will, that communicate with us and give us information and help our state of mind and our state of energy. We have the multidimensional world, which includes the guides, the teachers, the etheric beings like the Elohim, the angels, the archangels, the ascended masters. We have other world guides from other planets, if you will. I don't care where you are with this notion. Let's face the fact that this is an immense cosmos and that there are other living energies that have interacted with us and completely come from us. When I go out outside and I look up at the stars and I see the Pleiades over and over and over again, even though I don't even know where they are in the sky, and I go, I want to go home. I know that I have a connection to that frequency. The channeled information coming through the Pleiadians, the Arcturians, the Lemurians, the Andromedans, the Lemurian energies up in the Mount Shasta area, the I Am discourses that came through the Ascended Masters. You have active channels now who are dispensing information between dimensions, like Cryon, who's the most active and the most accurate of those right now, Bartholomew, who was around a while back, and Emmanuel, the beautiful Emmanuel books that came out in the early 90s. They were so nurturing and so nourishing, and they still exist. Put them on the Kindle. When you think you're alone, just go to this page and find out you're not alone. Okay, this is essential. I want to make sure that you know that there's two elements here. Monitor what you put out into the world and then filtering the input. As you create personal boundaries, I'm going to do the filtering input right now. This world is filled with fear. It's a manipulative energy. It's under pressure. There's power control. And that is always impacting us if we let it do so. A personal boundary is the claiming of an energy field around me that causes these things to not enter, because the higher frequency dispenses or dissipates lower frequency energy and it cannot enter the field. When I speak my name, Mark Stanton Welch, I am intending a field around me so that when I walk into a situation, I am not impacted by the lower frequency energies unless I choose to let them in. Boundaries are fluid in that they are based upon intention and choice and permission. You want to be able to create boundary. You've also already figured out a way. I believe we have a session later that has to do with that. It's a powerful tool at the time. Some of the ancient mantras, especially the one from Tibet, Hung Vajrapé, is a classic one that puts the field of light around us and also protects us and also amplifies our own vibration. Why not use these things? Why not protect? We are essentially creating a place where we filter and that which we let into us energetically. And obviously, we look at three categories, food, water, and media, about energy or about filtering the input. If you are in any place where you're willing to raise vibration, it is essential that you watch what you put into your body, into the physical especially. We know that the GMO products, especially corn and soy, are so impacted and so, what can I say? It's like, don't do them. Don't do them. Fast foods, you know, these things that have no life in them. Obviously, it comes down to anything that has been processed has diminished capacity to nurture us and to give us life force. It is a matter of taste. And I'm not saying do this exclusively, but basically we're being invited to eat higher on the food chain. We're being asked to eat things that are closer to the sun. You know, raw foods, not everybody can deal with raw foods. You know, a carrot and a celery stick now and then are pretty good. Maybe a little bit of cauliflower. Doing things that incorporate, but doing juices and doing other things, if you have the capacity to do that. It's just being conscious of it. And if you're forced to be in a condition where you have to eat certain things that aren't necessarily good for you energetically, then you pray over it. You change the energetic field of it. You can sit there with a plate of food that is coming from fast food joint A, and you can just run your hands over it like you're crossing the energy in multiple directions, like you're swishing a fly or something. That's funny. And basically what that does is it mixes up the vibrational field of it that then makes it more palatable to your field. Try this. It actually works. So when you're down at Krispy Kreme, just make sure you cross over that Krispy Kreme element, and then you can just enjoy it for what it is. Because honestly, the enjoyment that comes from something is a powerful, powerful force when used in moderation under the auspices of a medical professional. Monitor the water that you put in. Being a water, it's essential that we go ahead and make sure that what we put into ourselves is as clear and clean as possible. You know these things. I'm underscoring them because if you want to be in your clarity, in the frequency of your wholeness, it's essential that you begin to filter the input. One of the most insidious things that's happening is the media, and the media being controlled by a select few, honestly. that basically they're dictating the information that is poured into us and around us. Really monitor what you allow in. Obviously, certain television programs aren't worth it. Reality shows are just a way to sensationalize the dysfunction of people. I would really stay away from those kinds of things, although they are entertaining, having said that, and it's a good way to see how far you've come, that you're not in that kind of energy. So I'm not sitting here saying and pointing fingers, don't do this or don't do that. You have to make your own decisions, but I'm bringing the awareness up. I can't remember the last time I listened to a news program and people say, well, you're out of touch. And I say, well, no, I'm not. I'm in touch with energies that are far beyond the mechanics of this world and the things that are these sensational things and the controls and manipulations that are occurring. I have never been happier in relation to not listening to the news. In the days when my mom was facing the last days of her life, she spent probably 4 or 5 years every night with the radio on, and she'd go to sleep with the radio on, and the talk shows would come on, and more likely than not, she was being fed a whole lot of energy that brought a whole lot of fear into her life in the last days. She couldn't wait to get out of this planet because she was so scared. We don't have to do that, but we do it. I saw The Exorcist. That was the only one I saw. Halfway through, I was down below the seat in front of me. My hands were covering my face, and I said, why am I here? And I said, go. And I got up and walked out. It's the last time I saw one of those movies. And we know The Exorcist was a long time ago. To force, to activate fear, I can understand that on another level, but I know there are ways that are way more nurturing than just being stimulated and shocked and putting images and becoming afraid of the energy of evil. Okay, obviously each one of these topics is a whole night's course, but we're just getting a sense of this. I hope you're getting the flavor of what it is that's going on here. And I'm going to quickly do, in my last couple minutes, monitor what you put out in the world, because the laws of the cosmos are so reliable, it's very important to note that the thoughts, words, and actions that we put out are powerful attractants to that which we desire or do not desire. So basically what we're asking ourselves to do is monitor that which is sent out through the spoken word and through the thought process. The spoken word by design is the instigator of manifestation. It isn't so much the visualization that comes through the third eye. It is the spoken word that commands the forces of the cosmos to align themselves to bring that which you have just claimed. So it would follow that the more clear you are, the more you are capable of only saying that which you really intend to be said and which you want in your life. Self-creation requires that we monitor what we put in motion by thought, word, and deed. We are being guided to respond to life, not react. This is the new framework. To respond to things is to flow with them, is to find relationship, is to look at the higher perspective of it. To react is to use the old paradigms to create a barrier and to try and overwhelm or take care of the situation. They may be subtle, but they are very profound in their difference. We are in a process of living in a universe that by law is bound to say yes to that which we claim. The universe always says yes, and you perhaps have heard this before. What that means is whatever you put out, you will get back. So the question is, what do you see when you look out at the world? What do you feed into life outside of your own inner kingdom? It's worth looking at. Judgments, criticisms, reactions, focusing on the negative, seeing the worst in everything will bring on a challenging life. I have a friend who does that. So basically it comes down to sending love to everything and everyone, including yourself. Focusing on the positive, seeing in life-affirming ways, being respectful, compassionate, empathetic, and those will vastly change the form of the moments that comes to you. So it's beginning to see, I'm just getting the sense that what I'm painting here in this energy is that we're being invited to have a sort of no-fun, goody-two-shoes life. Well, I'll tell you, in my experience, as I put some of these things into action, and by no means do I have all of these in place, I have never been more content and more excited and more present and connected to the natural world, to the flow of life, to not being caught up and being overwhelmed by the forms of things that are happening, by the, thing. It's just a very, very different and rich experience. And I think I'm only tasting the first elements of it. My goodness. I invite you to dig into this lesson because or this session because there's so much here. There's so much here of actual specific things and guidance in terms to put into action and to put into place. And I'm just taking a moment here to take stock. We got through most of these. I just didn't do, okay, let me cultivate high vibration. There's just a list of things you can do to here to keep your vibration high. Listen to and sing music that impacts you, raises your frequency. Engage in conversation with like-minded, like-energied individuals. Observe life, participate in it, celebrate it. Make conscious connections with all of life, the inanimate and the animate, and the seen and the unseen. Enable reawakening by seeking it out in all you think, say, and do. Become a gratitude dispenser. Chant and move, dance a lot, move spontaneously, play with your voice, give sound to your moments, be emotional and use the voice to send it to the ethers. Maintain your energy bodies by daily clearing and enriching and nourishing them. Establish and maintain clear boundaries wherever you go and allow your emotions to flow. You'll see the lists here. What these will do is keep you in a high frequency, purring like a well-oiled German car, a mechanism that is in the flow of life that is moving in that frequency. This is the process of self-creation. It really is just a foundational beginning that you, right now, your cells are opening up, releasing information. They've been triggered. The elixir is moving through your system now to inspire you, to invite you, to give you visions of what it is that you are next being asked, guided, encouraged to do. I expect in these days to come that you will find yourself doing things that are a little bit out of the comfort zone, out of the ordinary and the familiar, but they will nurture you and activate parts of you that I believe are more than ready and more than willing to take on these moments and to do things. Please, when I send you this list, or this, the link to this page, really look at the things that I've put in here because this can serve as foundation to the entire rest of the course. This, in a sense, is an overview of what the entire Tools for the Times is about because there are specifics that we'll be looking at from now on. And I just keep talking and talking, and I have to stop. I will stay on here for any comments, questions, etc. I thank you so much for participating. I invite you, if you will, if this empowers you, if you feel a connection with this, please extend the invitation to others. More people really deserve to be hearing this because I know you know some that will. So with that in mind, I'm very grateful your choice to be a part of this. And for those of you that hung on through the entire time, thank you so much. And believe it or not, we didn't even cover everything that was here. So I have to look at this. I have to look at this. But the beauty is that you have it available afterwards anyway. So I invite you to begin to enjoy the moments that are coming your way and know that you are well taken care of and know that you are a magnificent being regardless of what you were told in the past, regardless of what you hold on to. The stuff is flying and falling away, and it is a grand and glorious time. So really, it's just like a pep talk for, you know, the coach is giving the talk before the big game here. I don't know what else to say except thank you so much. And Tools for the Time will continue next week, and I'm not even sure what our topic is, but you can see that on the first page. I'm quickly trying and not trying. There, see how quickly those words that we're being asked to not use, step into our awareness. Next week, we're looking at clearing the energetic past. Well, how could we not? Now that we've established the foundation and the place from which we're going to work, we're going to continue clearing out. And these will be some very different ways than those of you who had done work with me before. There are some very established ways that we can do it, but I'm going to present some ways that I think are coming through some of the new frequencies now. So I'm excited about that. So we'll be back a week from now at 7 p.m. Pacific time. You will get a link within the next 2 days to all of this information and the recording itself. I'm grateful again. Thank you so very much again. Our session is done. I'll stay on for any comments, questions, and then I'll go ahead and stop the recording. Endless blessings to everyone.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark?
Yes, you're welcome.
This is
This is Connie.
Hi, Connie.
I want to thank you so much for this scholarly effort that you're giving to all of, you know, imparting to us. And I just wanted to tell you that I had just purchased a deck of cards by Gabrielle Bernstein called Miracles Now. It's a new deck that's out, and I pulled a card as you were speaking, and it said, I speak with confidence because the world needs my light.
I love it.
It was just perfect. Well, the cards are always right. So anyway, I just wanted to relay that to you and to thank you very much, and I'll look forward to reading what you're sending this week.
Connie, thank you so much. And I also, by the way, hear that confidence in your voice as well.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, I'm feeling well because of the Earth diet.
Oh, yeah, I've known you for a while, and I know what I hear now is a very different energy. And
it's so valid what you said about doing the juicing, eating properly. It's all food is medicine, and that book is the best that just struck home, mostly because of necessity,
right.
You know, with my health issues. But anyway, it works, and so anyway, thank you so much, and I just wanted to let you know that I appreciate all your effort and work to try to help everyone.
And I just want to say, since it's on the phone, you brought it up, the book you're referring to, is it The Earth Diet? Is that what it's called?
Yes, the one I sent to you.
Yeah, sitting right here on my desk. I appreciate
it.
It's wonderful, so check it out.
So anyway,
if you're interested in
it's helped
shipping.
Me so much. There's so many different aspects of it. So anyway, I just wanted to thank you so much and
welcome,
take
Connie.
Good care, and I'll look forward to next Tuesday.
Likewise. Blessings to you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye bye.
Mark?
Yeah.
This is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I just have a quick question because I've been working with this, and the environment in San Diego has gotten better, but it's not perfect. The lady has a business above me, and it's in a great neighborhood, and, of course, the price is good now. And I've worked at painting it. It's small, but for apartment, it's a house converted into apartment. And my question is, I mean, I can do the inner work and all this stuff, but if somebody, how do I say this, just doesn't send me good thoughts and, you know, it's in its close proximity, I've toyed so much with this. Like, is there a point where you just leave the environment? I've lived there a while. It's gotten better, but then it's gotten worse. She has people coming in and out, and I mean, to buy the products, but it's her towards me. You know, she just takes over the whole place and just many other things. But she's, I don't know if she wants my place, you know, underneath me or just, she just takes over boundaries. So,
yeah. Well, you know, I'm actually, there are multiple responses to this, but I'm just going to give you the first thing that came to me. It's basically time to go.
Thank you.
And I think, you know, what I want to underscore here is that the idea of living below people.
Uh-huh.
In your next place, don't, you know, find a place where you're either on one level or you are on the above area.
Or I was trying for no one above me or on either side, you know, a guest home or something.
Well, that would be great. You know, to be in your own frequency completely and the own space that you can maintain. The things on either side, I don't think they're as impactful as something that's right above you because of the nature of the energy just filtering down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's just the hit I got on that, and I think that you probably already know.
Yeah.
You know, we can carry a higher frequency towards anyone, but we're not here to fix people at all. None of us are. And so the idea is that you just want to be in your frequency and true to that alignment,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, if things don't work, you either change your response to it or you move to another situation.
Yeah.
Both have relevance and both have impact, and neither is better than the other if you're in a position where you can do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thanks a lot, Mark, and you have a good week, and I'll talk to you next week or, you know, the class.
Absolutely, Nancy. Blessings to you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Excuse me. Anyone else? And so it is. And so it is. So we are done. Tools for the Time signing off April 14th, 2015. next week. Blessings to all.